Where we live is very important to us. Part of what used to be called the American dream was home ownership. That's increasingly not possible for a fair chunk of the population. But that house, what was envisioned as a house, the dream that many had, has morphed over the years. And for a long time here recently, the McMansions were what people seemed to drift to. But many are rethinking that as well. For most people, having a home is less about the physical structure, and even COVID kind of reshaped and focused this, but more about the importance of feeling safe and secure and having a base where everybody can be a family. Shortly after the nation of Israel left Egypt, God instructed them through Moses to build him a sanctuary and all the related paraphernalia that was used at the tabernacle. The point was for God to have a place, a home, if you will, where he would dwell amongst his people. An interesting connection to God telling Moses to build the temple, the tabernacle, is that it was all done around the time of this time of year, around the time of Pentecost. God gave directions for the construction of the tabernacle around the same time that he gave the Ten Commandments to the nation. And so then God used that tabernacle that was made for him for 487 years. It was used for all the years of the wandering in the wilderness. It was used for all the time period of the judges. It was used in Saul's reign as king and for all the time that David ruled as well. And toward the end of the reign of David, he had in mind the thought to build what he considered a more proper temple to God. If you want to mark in your notes 1 Chronicles 17, first 12 verses, and then in chapter 22, God has this conversation with him. And he essentially tells David, you're not going to build it. Your son will, for a variety of reasons, but mostly because David was such a military man. So many people had been killed. But in considering this, David thought that it was unacceptable for the nation to have such fine homes. They had been established for many, many centuries at this point. To have such fine homes, and God's home was still a tent. Now, the question in my mind comes up, was God constrained by having his presence in that tabernacle? And then later, as Solomon built what is typically called the first temple, was it constrained? Was constraining to God? We know that in both of those cases, in the tabernacle and then Solomon's temple, God placed his presence there. Some say that it was not in what was known as Nehemiah's temple. There's some indication it might have been, but certainly not by the time Herod became king in the land. Israel thought for a long, long time, centuries, that as long as the temple existed, that they would never suffer defeat or destruction. It was a weakness of them. They were looking to physical things to protect them. The problem was that they had forgotten to worship and honor God, and instead they began to worship the temple itself. But God had always planned to create a permanent temple. I'd like to begin today in Haggai chapter 2. Not a place we go to often, certainly not usually on a holy day. But there's an interesting thought here that Haggai records as God speaks to him. So in Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 9, we have this. It says, the glory, speaking God here, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Eternal of Hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Eternal of Hosts. The glory of the latter temple. Almost everyone understands this to mean the temple in the last days. But that's not completely accurate. God was pointing them to his son. He would obviously come in about 500 years from the time Haggai recorded this. But more importantly, God was also pointing them to the temple that he would have Christ establish. That temple would be him living in his people. Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. To answer my question a moment ago, no, God is not constrained. He is the God of the universe. He has created all. He dwells where he chooses. And what's interesting is he has expanded, if you will, the concept and the thought of what a temple is. In 1 Corinthians 3, And in verse 10, Paul records this for us. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Each of us. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. And in almost every translation, the word day is capitalized. The translators even recognize this speaks to the time of judgment when Christ returns, but certainly as each individual is judged in their time. He says, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What Christ established roughly 2,000 years ago was the beginning of this temple that Haggai talked about, and what Paul is referring to here, the temple of God's people, where God dwells. He dwells within his people through his Spirit, as we see here. Verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I have asked this question in the past. I will continue to ask it. What makes anything holy? Only God's presence. The Sabbath is holy because God is in it. We are holy to the extent that God is in us, and he has set us apart as his temple. God's true desire is to dwell with his people. You can read that in places like 2 Corinthians 6. Because of what God began on this day of Pentecost, 31 AD, we can have his Spirit in us, not just with us. And there's a huge difference, because being in us helps to change us, to become the temple where God wants to dwell, to reflect his glory and majesty, his righteousness. An interesting thought is back in 1 Kings 6 that I want to turn to next. Because as David prepared, even though he was told he couldn't build the temple, that he wanted to build God, God allowed David to collect the material, if you will. He put everything in place so that when his son Solomon became king, Solomon didn't have to start from scratch. Everything was ready to go. And in 1 Kings 6 and verse 7, we read this. It says, in the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished from the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. That must have been an impressive sight. We do this from time to time, even in modern senses, where something will be assembled off-site to make sure all the pieces fit. Then they disassemble, because it's such a huge thing, whatever it is, disassemble it, ship it, and then reassemble it. In which case, it would be very similar to what is being talked about here. There was no noise made. They weren't hammering and sawing and banging and doing all of these things. And I find that a very interesting thing. The noise of constructing the temple was somewhere else, not where it ended up. Once the material was brought to Jerusalem, there was a relatively simple matter, as I said, of just putting it all together. We are in the time of preparation. God is preparing his temple now, isn't he? We have his Spirit, but we're not fully his temple. Not until we have eternal life as he does. When Christ returns, all of the pieces will be there. And it will be a simple matter of simply assembling everyone. Let's look at that in John 14 as a concluding verse here. John 14, verse 2, Christ says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word in the Greek has the meaning of rooms or places. Christ is preparing a place for each one of us to be assembled within God's temple. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Feast of Pentecost pictures a more intimate relationship that we can have with the Father. Are we yielding to God so that we're able to be placed in His temple where He desires? Are we growing in His grace and knowledge so that we can be fitted together to a temple that reflects God's glory? Let's not forget the meaning of Pentecost as we leave today, go on about our lives in the year. Let us do our part in being a valuable and meaningful part of His temple. Let us nourish and cherish His Holy Spirit so that we are indeed the temple and God will indeed dwell in us.